proceed with the doctrine of the importance of Bible prophecy. And whatever time it takes to wrap this up, then it takes, and you can go home or wherever you're going. We're all going to the same place, aren't we? So the importance of the prophetic word cannot be overemphasized. And it is important that this timeline with the various factors be laid out for believers. If it was important to see, it had to be important to the first century Christians. We wouldn't have the New Testament. We wouldn't have any information. So the information was given to the earliest Christians, first century. By the end of the first century, the prophetic word, Old and New Testaments, were in place. And we don't need anything else. We don't need any additional revelation. All we're required to do, us being royal family, is to observe the times and the things developing in history, see if it matches up with Bible prophecy, and draw the final conclusion that there is a rapture generation. Even if you didn't believe that Israel was a fig tree, you'd have to believe there was a rapture generation. You'd have to, because it's the final generation. So we've got information, thankfully, based on a question asked Jesus by his disciple, what is the sign of your coming and the end of the age? He did not tell him to, it's not for you to know. He did not tell him that. Nobody can know this. It's just up in the air. No, he gave them the parable of the fig tree. And in that context, he gives a whole bunch of other information about things that are transpiring on earth during this time. We call birth pains, even information with regard to the abomination of desolation. But in it, he gives the parable of the fig tree. Learn it, he says. Well, learning it requires that you identify this and the particular things he had to say, that when you see this, this generation will not pass away. Now that's to me pretty clear up there in point four in the Olivet Discourse, the parable of the fig tree. So with that in view, we've been 70 plus years since this event occurred. It has to be a historical event, and it has to be the acknowledgement on the part of the nations that Israel's a nation. People say, "Oh, it's an illegal nation," and all this. They go on and on. I don't care what behind the scenes stuff went on by the Illuminati or whoever was involved. It's irrelevant. God's used a lot of different kinds of people to advance His plan, including totally corrupt people. You know, what all that back room and all that stuff was, and what the plan of the movers and shakers, the bad guys are, I don't care. Israel's back as a nation. Whatever its leadership is, whatever the circumstances for its birth, it's still legitimate. It's what God wanted, and it lines up with the prophecy that God would restore the Jews after scattering them all over the face of the earth. He will bring them home, and He will reestablish them, and not for any righteousness on their part. It's not because you turn to Me in captivity. It's because I'm running this show, and I don't have to abide by that principle in this case. I am tired of the talk of the nations. Read all about it in Ezekiel. I'm tired about their bad-mouthing this whole idea. So restoration and immigration back to Israel preceded, obviously, the establishment of the nation. The nation comes together, and this immigration continues at various paces from different places and different countries to which God Almighty scattered them in the day of their maximum judgment. Now He's bringing these non-believers home and establishing them back in Israel. So Israel is a viable nation in the Middle East. And that's the That's the timing factor. You can go into the doctrine for more of the details. The importance of prophecy is of great encouragement to us as we are watching the continual degeneration of our culture and people going off into all kinds of stuff. It's all ramped up. It's not pleasant. I don't like living in that sense. I want to get out of here and get this over with, but I have to be patient like you and see this thing through. The rapture generation lives in what James calls the latter rains. The early rains and the latter rains of James 5, 7. The early rains were the product of spring moisture on the particular environment Israel lived in. They depended on the early rains and the latter rains. The early rains is the apostolic era, basically, when no one would argue that this was a very high period of doctrinal communication. The apostles are out there, the writing apostles of the New Testament. This is the early rains. Then things taper off through the rest of the season, and we come to the latter rains. That's at the end of the harvest or the agricultural cycle of Israel, James 5, 7. And again, James was written to those believers living in the land. They knew what the early and they knew what the latter rains were on a physical level. They absolutely knew what that was. It was not a problem. The rapture generation lives in what is called, again, the latter rains. Prophecy was a spiritual gift. We know that. It was a communication gift. And as such, it was considered a greater gift. We don't go into that. We have a separate doctrine on spiritual gifts. We don't have to concern ourselves with that because no one has this gift now in the church age. It was an edification gift, an instructive gift for believers until the canon of Scripture was completed. Because they had to have some fill-in. So it was a sign for the believer. The canon was not yet complete. The end was not imminent. Even as tongues was a sign to unbelieving Jews that Gentiles would dominate the age, 1 Corinthians 14:22. Principle, and this is very important, God never does anything in history without first informing his servants, the prophets. Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord God does nothing. This is a historical development. Something that's big that's coming on the scene of history. He does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. So that verse is used here to demonstrate that the development of things in human history always preceded some way of ascertaining the timing and other factors, what he's going to do and when he's going to do it. And we would start with Noah's flood and we would move forward down the timeline. And I don't know of any exceptions to this rule where Christians, or believers rather, were caught off guard regarding a historical development if they wanted to be in the know. Now, if they're caught off guard, it's simply because they weren't on top of the information. And I was wondering if Moses miscalculated this. He was a smart guy. He miscalculated this in the timing of Israel to come out of Egypt, because it's his aborted attempt to lead the Jews out of Egypt by killing that Egyptian and hoping to rally the Jews around him and Exodus out of Egypt. And it wasn't for another 40 years. So he must have misfired on that one, because it was taught to Abraham through Isaac, the timing, the exact timing for the Exodus out of Egypt. So whatever number of Jews understood that is irrelevant. But the fact is, the information was available to them. And Moses could have dug into all the information that had been revealed, because he did figure out certain things, but his timing was off. 40 years. Too early. Not the right time. So for these things, it's not just any old time that things work out. God has a timeline, and it is set up, like I said, like a Swiss watch, and it runs, and it comes to fruition. And for those of us who pray about it, who are in the know, we see, we are not asleep, we see, we know the timing of these things. The way I and another person in the church worked out the timing on the rapture event is that here's another factor. See, details matter. Any year in the church age isn't going to work apart from the historical scene. It has to be on a 7 count. So you start with creation or restoration, first week. That's your first year. And every 7 years, until you accomplish 7,000 years, that concludes human history. So that even though Daniel's prophecy of the 70 weeks of years came in, it's like the 69 and then the 70 detached out here for the trib, because it didn't follow sequentially after 69th was completed. But still, the count is 7. So the rapture has to be on a 7 count. That's how I see it. A 7 count. Because that immediately follows the 7-year tribulation period. So, we illustrate all these different things. They knew when they were coming. Ezekiel's breakthrough. He's studying the Bible. He's studying a relatively close contemporary, Jeremiah's prophecy. He figures out. He kind of figures it out right at the end, right before, you know, kind of more or less at the last minute, that it's time for the Jews to walk out of. Daniel did. Daniel had the breakthrough. Daniel had the breakthrough. Figured out it was 70 years. He's a high official in the system. So it's time to come out of Egypt, and it's under Persian rule. So all out of Egypt, out of Babylon. So there again is another example of knowing as a result of studying the Bible. It's right clear. It's clear in Jeremiah. They would spend 70 years in Babylon, and a remnant would come back to Israel. Not every Jew. The big Jewish community stayed put in Babylon, but those that committed volitionally, they left, fulfilled. And of course, the first advent, we do have indications of believers that knew the time. We have the Persian Magi from a different angle, astrological. We have the prophet Simeon, who prayed that God would keep him alive as an old man long enough to hold in his arm the salvation of the Lord. How did this guy figure it out? Well, you say he's a prophet. That's true. But he also had the Bible to back him up and know the timing of the first advent, the fullness of time factor. Of course, anybody that's in the tribulation knows it's 7 years or however many years have elapsed. They know that time frame. That's that. It's silly to think no one would know the time of the second advent. You might not nail the hour, but you know what you know, or even the day, but you know the time frame, the millennium and all the rest of it. So we're church age believers to be left completely in the dark and not know anything. It don't make any sense. So so God never does anything in history of this magnitude without informing his servants. Well, this is the prophets of old, obviously, who were given heads up on this. We're a royal family. We're not underlings in this regard. We're going to get what we need, and we got the completed canon of Scripture, and that is sufficient. Continue to pray. Anything new in there? Prophecy protected 2 millennial days, the first advent to the final restoration of the Jews. Now, here's another strange one. Hosea not strange. I don't mean it in a negative way. I just mean that it's all right. Let's see if I got 13. 13. No. Well, on that note, I think 13. Well, it's after 2 days, and I think that it's in Hosea, and I'm looking at every 13. I'm sorry to bother you like this. Forgive me. I'm not troubleshooting that one. Thank you. How did I get that so screwed up? 6-2. Okay, 6-2. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day, that we may live before him. So with a day corresponding to 1,000 years, it obviously can't be 24-hour days, so that's obvious. So it is another one of those indicator verses in this regard. Okay, I'll let you go, and we'll pick up here next time. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.